Mankind has always been curious about the unseen and the unknown. We approach our questions in a personal way, seeking to the degree of our ability to understand and comprehend. And so we begin right where we are. We look around us, and we notice our environment, our circumstances, and conditions. We consider our family and our friends, our neighbors and our coworkers. And we wonder, was our coming together a random method of arrangement, or was a deeper purpose involved? Why do things happen to one and not to another? What is the deciding factor that determines happiness and contentment? And what about sadness and dissatisfaction? We have so many questions, and yet it all comes down to this. What is this thing called life? What is it all about? We ponder life from our own backyard, from our own limited range of knowledge and experience. Method of learning requires us to study what we are looking at. What is its nature, its core, and its essence? What formed it, and what sustains it? We apply this form of inquiry to all areas of life. For instance, we may have attended a lecture and considered it quite good. And so after the presentation, we met with other attendees to discuss what we had heard. Now, since we all listen in a personal way, we each had a different interpretation of what had transpired. Therefore, we contemplated and we debated. We identified the main points of the lecture. Were they clear and definite? Were they definable? Most of all, what was the substance of the message? What was its intent, and what held it together? Now, in the process of discussion, we dissected the message. The result was that, in tearing it apart, we discovered what had put it together. We were able to follow the train of thought that wove it into place, keeping us focused and attentive. We were impressed with the speaker's ability to inform and enlighten, inviting us into his world of expertise. In our time of inquiry, we went behind the presentation, beneath the surface of the obvious, and we uncovered the invisible nature of what we had heard and what we had seen. Our curiosity concerning the unknown and the unseen leads to the conclusion that there is an invisible aspect of life. Its purpose and function is to give visibility to what was previously unseen. An intangible activity that moves the idea from mind into expression. The law concerning expression is this: as within, so without; as in mind, so in manifestation. We think about this, and we reason that in order to learn of this law, we must study the invisible nature of life. Therefore, we give our attention to what makes up the within. What is its nature, its essence and core? What is its substance? God is the invisible author of the within. God is spirit, and we learn of him by acknowledging the spiritual laws that govern his kingdom. To learn of the invisible nature of life, we study the author that put it in place. Just like that speaker who gave the lecture, by dissecting his message, we discovered his method of thought, his manner of creativity, defining and clarifying according to his pattern of awareness and his field of expertise. Let us try to realize that the life that all nature is feeling within itself is the life of God, that which grows all things that have form and life. This is the truth of being. This life of God in manifestation is actually his love, which is both the cause and the reason of all being. It is the motivating force of expression. His love, as we know, is his Holy Spirit, his holy name, and it expresses as the invisible nature of all life. In man, we identify it as his beloved child, the Christ. Now, I have just shared a very wonderful truth. However, what are we going to do with it? Now, none of us is new to the words of truth. We have all read about truth and studied it in the past at one time or another. Nevertheless, we have mostly done our learning with our brain mind through logic and reasoning. My question is this. Of what use is that? We have filled our minds with words of truth, and yet our soul remains unrecognized, dissatisfied, and unfulfilled. We simply have not made any practical use of what we have heard and what we have read. The thing is this. The spiritual life that acknowledges and recognizes the invisible nature of life and then cooperates with it, it's not a mental exercise, nor is it an academic pursuit. The spiritual life is a way of life. It is motivated from within. Now, when we say that we are living the spiritual life, we are not actually doing anything on our own. Open and receptive to our invisible nature, spirit leads us. The founders of divine science defined this act of agreement as practicing the presence and living the truth of what we know about life and about us. We must live as Christ in order to benefit from our spiritual name. So let us return to the Creator, to the author of all life, to practice its presence and live its truth. We must recognize and acknowledge what we are practicing and what we are living. What is its nature and what is its substance? Next, we ask, who wrote the book of life? Who created the plot, the scenes, and the characters? Who was the author of the garden, the flowers, the trees, and the shrubs? Who is the author of us? God is. God is the invisible life substance, activity, and law unto all form, including that garden, those trees and the flowers and the shrubs, and yes, of us. Now, in addition, let us not forget about everything else, the animals, the birds, the bears, and the squirrels. Let us not forget about those mountains, the oceans, the wind, and the rain. However, for this moment, let us give our attention to the garden, understanding that we may apply this same manner of concentration to all areas of consideration. Now, returning to the garden, not all of us have an actual garden to visit. However, all of us may envision one in our mind's eye. I consider the art of imagination to be a gift from God, so let us use it now. Acknowledging the invisible nature of the garden, we declare that God is in the midst of the garden. God is its nourishment, its food, its substance, and its law. Next, we allow our attention to observe the flowers. Each has its own personality, its color, its shape, and its fragrance. Its nature calls it by name. One is a rose, another is a lily, an orchid, or a daisy. Nevertheless, God made them all according to his idea of type and species. Next, we notice that fountain in the center of the garden. Its rushing water beats to the sound of an inner rhythm, in sync with the gentle breeze. Now, in the case of the garden, we are observing both its within, its unseen substance, and its without, its physical form. We acknowledge and recognize the nature that supports and maintains the garden, both as invisible essence and as visible form. Recognizing the spiritual reality behind form is really a prayer of recognition. I consider that any time we acknowledge and recognize God, it is a form of prayer, affirming what is already in place. Do you see how we may apply this method of acknowledgement to all areas and forms of life? Let us now give our attention to those intangible aspects that we cannot so easily define and clarify. While they have substance, it is more of an essence that we feel, rather than a visible form. They are unseen, never actually existing as form. Yet, they are equally important in discovering the nature that sustains and maintains life in a variety of expression. These are the inner attributes, inherencies, and qualities assigned to the nature of God. Now, since we sense them and we feel them, we must discern them with our inner ear and our eye divine. God is the author, and when we affirm what is already in place, we open ourselves to be the transparency through which they may manifest. Therefore, this is our purpose for being. For this cause came I into the world, that I may bear witness unto the truth, that is, to be the avenue for God's work to be made manifest. For example, let us begin with the qualities of wisdom and intelligence. Let us understand it is not our personal wisdom or our personal intelligence. When God made these available to us, he did not do us a personal favor. Since God is the author of the invisible nature of all life, what belongs to God's nature belongs to the nature of all humanity. We read in the Bible that King Solomon asked for wisdom. His situation required wisdom, and he knew it was available. However, he also knew that he, as King Solomon, did not have the capacity to judge righteously. The wisdom of humanity was simply not deep enough or high enough to discern correctly. He knew that true wisdom was a divine quality assigned to the nature of God. His request for wisdom was actually his prayer of recognition that it was available in that hand. His open heart and his receptive attitude allowed him to be the transparency for God's wisdom to rule in his life and in his affairs. Consciously aware of God as the indweller of our within, we are one with its attributes, inherencies, and qualities. At any time, in any place, we may turn within and allow God's infinite wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to rule in our heart. Next, I speak of intelligence. Now, what the human being refers to as intelligence belongs to the human mind of logic, reasoning, and conception. We refer to certain individuals as intellectuals, as having a higher degree of mental power than that of the ordinary man. Someone created an IQ test, which allows those who score high enough to be included among the intellectuals. However, measurements which man enacts and puts in place pale in comparison to the pure intelligence of the divine mind. God is all-knowing, infinite, and unlimited. We cannot measure what is not capable of measurement. Individuals who rely on the indweller of their within realize that whatever intelligence or wisdom is manifesting through his or her experience is the intelligence or wisdom of God. And they are merely the instrument through which it appears. Once again, we remind ourselves, I of myself can do nothing. The humble heart is a necessary element in allowing spirit to do the leading. By not personalizing God's gifts as ours only, we open ourselves to an infinite capacity to express good, an infinite capacity to express intelligence, wisdom, love, and life. The moment that we claim anything just for ourselves only, we limit whatever it is we are claiming. You see, when we claim personally, we do so from our range of experience and acceptance. These are not nearly wide enough or broad enough to receive what the universe has to offer. When we admit that we of ourselves can do nothing, we are more willing to be open and receptive to a more expansive view of life. Without personal definition, we make room for infinite good to express through us and as us. We have read that God is more willing to give than we are to receive. If a person closes his mind to the storehouse of infinite being, preferring to seek his good, his wisdom, intelligence, and love from someone or something, rather than from their spiritual source, he or she shuts themselves off from their infinite good. When we cooperate with the invisible nature of life, we can trust it to do its work through us and as us. You see, limitation is no part of God's creation. And the reason is this: because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It is God's responsibility to do the fulfilling and not ours. It is my good pleasure to give you the kingdom, and all that I have is thine. Now, when we truly understand this, we lose all desire to act on our own. We finally get it. God created a finished kingdom, And we have access to it as an attribute of our divine nature. Our role is to acknowledge what is already in place. And we do so with our prayer of gratitude. We realize that our gratitude is for God expressing himself in infinite form and varieties of good. Therefore, when we consciously recognize that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, we give recognition to the invisible nature of life that fulfills itself. Never again will we praise the demonstration or the form that it takes. So let us go back to our visit to the garden, either the physical location or that one imagined in our mind's eye. Now, looking out into our garden, we are grateful there is an invisible being that sends itself forth as apples, roses, tulips, trees, and shrubs, not for our personal pleasure, but rather for the fulfillment of itself. We are grateful there is a law of nature that sends itself forth as vegetables, animals, and minerals. We are grateful there is oil in the ground, not because we own any of it, but because it is there for the whole world. Nevertheless, as a part of the world, naturally it is part of our life, and we are part of it, but only because we are part of God's world. And we bear witness to the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. One with the nature of life, we want nothing in a personal way. We shall want for neither bodily sustenance nor soul satisfaction. For the Lord is completeness and wholeness, and it is his responsibility to care for us. This morning, let us take a moment and lift up our prayer of gratitude. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we close our worship service, we claim a moment of silence. In the silence, we are in God's presence. There is a realm of life known only to the soul of man. It is a spiritual kingdom, beyond the range of mental thought and physical might. In the absence of human awareness, we are stirred in remembrance from whence we came. Spiritual movement is the activity of causation, bringing forth after its own kind. In the silence, we are peaceful and serene, one with the rhythm of the spiritual life, which moves us according to God's plan. The receptive heart responds to that inner voice that urges us to come up higher. The invisible nature of life is our spiritual name, Christ. Knowing us in this way, we may say with Jesus, "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth." It is every man's and every woman's destiny to live as Christ. So let us get busy and do so. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within and acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.
Praise God in whom all being is. Praise him for word and form are his. Praise him, all ye his truth proclaim. Sing joy. unto his name. Amen.
Go in peace and have a blessed week.